Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
Oh, I just love being here. I absolutely have just adored every person that I've been able to meet. And I've been teary this morning, which is weird because I am like joy. That is my jam. Joy is my jam. And all I'm like, I'm just teary because I'm just sensing the breakthrough of God. I feel such joy over you and honor for being a forerunner and continuing to dream despite everything. And I don't know anything about anything, but despite obstacles, you keep going. And God's favor is on you because you just never quit. And you lovely couple here, yes, you, the one that was dancing with us yesterday, you have such a creative anointing on your lives. And I'm wondering for you, we need the creatives in the church. And I just want to say on behalf of someone who releases creatives that you're so welcome in the body to do things differently, to dream outside the box, and to bring God's creativity, because he's the creative one, and then he deposits creativity for those who are open. So you're not just creative, you're open. And because you're open, he trusts you, and you take what he stewards to you, a couple of beans. He gives you a couple beans, and you go, I'm going to make this beautiful. I'm going to give you the ability to be able to impact other people through creative arts. And so I just want to say, like, it's not something that needs to stay out there. It's something that needs to be in here too. And I think we're all just trying to figure out what that looks like without being weird. But maybe we need to be weird. I have a word for you. Go be weird. I'm wondering if anyone else is creative in the room. Could you please stand up? I want to release something over you. Yeah, Tony? Yes, Shane, what's your name? Sean, oh my goodness. Yes, hello, I just met you. Yeah, right back there in the burgundy, there's so much creativity on you. You're an out-of-a-box thinker, and that needs to be stirred up. I just see you stirring things up. You are actually my shirt. Well-behaved women rarely make history. That's my shirt. That's you. That's you. And Jay, and right here, you as well. What's your name? Yes. John, oh my goodness, and what's your name? Pascal. Okay, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus for you to stir up the creative hearts, the creative hearts. You are the creator, and your creativity is falling right now in new ways, in new measures. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine what is in the heavenlies right now. I just pray that you deposit it into their spirits. I just pray that you release your creativity in their hearts to not just create art, but to create movements, to create things that will change culture, things that will impact people's lives, things that seem so small. Those of you who are like, but my creativity isn't big enough, don't you think that? Think small in order to think big. God's saying, I start with a seed. I can take something that's so small and I can turn it into something miraculous. All you need to do is bring your stewardship of your gift forward and watch me move. In fact, lay on your back. Shane, lay on your back and watch God move on your behalf. He's moving on your behalf as you lay down and you just suck the carpet like you did when you first got saved. He's saying, I'm going to make a way. He says, I'm going to make a way in a wilderness. I'm going to create streams in desert because that's what God does. He's the miraculous, and all he's looking for is someone who says, I dare to believe. I dare to ask, what if? I dare to think outside the box. Those of you who are in business, please stand up and receive this, because God's going to release rivers in deserts where it seems financially unstable, where right now it's saying, this is no time to move forward. This is no time to be in real estate. This is no time to make money. I'm saying that God is going to release on you the ability to make money so that you can create a difference, because all I see is generosity over this house. All I see is people who want to make a difference. And God trusts people who want to make a difference for the right reasons. And he's going to release to you strategy. He's going to release to you strategy. I just felt such a blessing over your books. It's actually going to unlock kingdom principles. Even for me and my husband, as we read that book, I know that there's keys in there for us. And you're releasing business to be able, kingdom business, to be able to bring kingdom keys to our world. Those books are meant to be out there, and God's going to do it in his time, and he's going to release them in his way. And it doesn't look like everybody else, but you know what? You're just moving forward. You just keep walking. Keep walking. And so for those of you who need an extra measure of faith, receive this in Jesus' name. God is saying that all things are possible for those who believe, those who align their hearts, and they rest their head on the chest of the Lord. He is going to release to you kingdom strategies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I really felt over your life, the lady in the nice long hair and floral shirt, I just said, God's the God of the breakthrough for you. He's saying God's God of the breakthrough. And Claude, right? Oh, you're such a beautiful risk taker. God's saying permission granted over whatever you're going to do right now. Permission granted. Wow, well, that was fun. So I'm Connie. Hello. I just love you. You're just fantastic people. And you know what? You were here yesterday, and forgive me, I've been so good with people's names. And Marianne, you are such an idea person, and you love people. And God releases ideas to people for a reason and on a certain season to be able to bring hope. You're a hope carrier. Yeah, so I just pray great blessing on you as you bring hope and you connect dots, because that's what I got from you yesterday in our time. So. Oh, wow. Well, is this for me? Look at this. It has a cup holder up here. My church doesn't have this. Oh, and Brandy, oh my goodness, what you just set up here, thank you for never giving up. Thank you for always trudging forward. Thank you for even though the dream always seems a little far off, you're living it. You're walking it. And the Lord trusts people who just keep walking, even when it doesn't make sense. So can we honor Brandy for continuing to go forth no matter what? No matter what, you keep going. Keep dreaming for revival. And I feel like the anointing on you to bring revival is look at how many people stood up. They're watching you keep walking. And that's reviving their spirits. When you keep walking, you revive people's spirits. And it's often through brokenness. It's interesting. God uses broken journeys, brokenness, to bring forth his hope. And there's nothing but hope that you bring to the people around you here. And I took Brandy's drumming class at a fitness studio. I'm very sore today. And you should see the ladies in the room and how the hope that she brings as she's teaching these classes, that's ministry. And she's in her sweet spot. And there's so many of you in the room, and I'm going to get to what I was actually going to say in a second. But there's so many of you in the room that you're like, is this right? Did I miss it? Like, is this really ministry? Is this what God has called me to? Like, I've got church and then I've got what I do. No. God doesn't see any different. There's no difference. And God, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you, for he has anointed you to go and preach good news to the poor. Who's the poor? I used to work in East Vancouver with drug dealers and gang members, and it was very blatant in East Vancouver. I don't know if you've ever heard of East Hastings. It's one of the poorest streets in Canada. You don't have to go very far to see brokenness and heroin and legal injection sites all over and just watching people overdose right in front of you. The brokenness is blatant. And I remember being on those streets and thinking, oh, this is the poor. And then I moved to Calgary, where it's very rich, oil and gas. And I'm like, where's the brokenness in this city? Oh, it's hidden. People just hide behind their beautiful white picket fences and their beautiful homes. Some of the greatest drug deals that go on in my city are in our highest influenced areas. So the poor is people whose spirits have been crushed by life. That's the poor. And we got tons. There's no shortage of the poor, the people who feel like life has pushed them down, especially right now. And so when it comes to what I would love to share with you today is it's interesting how I started in church ministry, but I shared with some of you that that didn't go very well. I'm never meant to be in the building, and so I got fired from being a pastor, and so they'll let anyone in here. I'm just kidding. They won't. They guard this place very well. They're good stewards. Please don't take my joke too far. Trying to be funny, trying to make a good first impression. And so I remember when I moved to Calgary, and I, because my heart is for the broken. That's who I've always loved. I've always loved the outsider. I've always loved the ones on the outside of the circle. I've always loved the kids who don't fit in. I've always loved the people who are misunderstood. I've always loved the ones that just are the misfits. Those are my people. Go be weird. I'm a weirdo too. And not that you're misfits. You're like, wow, what is she trying to say? I feel very compelled to people who are outside. In fact, it's interesting, the people who God's called me to, you know, the church doesn't know what to do with these people. We planted a church called Cypher Church a while ago, and because I'm a hip hopper, and I know that that's what you thought when you saw me. You thought, that woman breakdances. I can see it all over her, right? But I can't. I can get down, you know? I can get down. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's me, almost 50, and I'm feeling it, you know? Okay. But I remember, you know, we started this church called Cypher Church, and we had all these interesting people. And the reason why it was called Cypher Church was because it was in a circle. So hip-hop culture, these dancers, they dance and they do everything in community. And they do everything in a circle. So the idea of bringing them to a church where we sit in rows would be foreign to them. And they would probably sit here kind of like they're in a new culture. And they would be observing going, okay, this is neat. This is neat, but I don't identify with this at all. So my heart is, how do we bring the incarnational Jesus to people in their language? So we did church as a circle. We removed the pews. We instead of worship, we had beats, because that's what they do. And instead of singing, we passed the mic and everybody would just freestyle rap, including me. That was fun. Didn't do it well, though, by the way. And then they would dance. Dancers would dance. The DJs would do their thing. And God was really doing a really unique work. And I remember we had this cross-dresser who came in. And the first thing he says to me, doesn't even say hello. He says, do you think I'm an abomination? What do you say to that? I just said, you're very welcome here. I didn't want to go into theology with him. I wanted him to know that he's welcome. I had another polyamorous lady. I didn't even know what that was because I grew up pretty innocent. That means, you know, many, many, many partners. And she says to me, what do you think God thinks of my lifestyle? Not only is she polyamorous, but she was also bisexual. What do you think God thinks of my lifestyle? How do you even answer that? Like my face, I'm thinking about my face. What is my resting face right now? You're what? Or, like, what do you do, right? I just said to her, I think you need an encounter with the love of God and then we'll talk. That girl got baptized. She gave her heart to Jesus. Yeah. Now, what's very interesting is that a few years later, she tried to sue me. So I'll tell you what, you work with the broken, they are broken. She hurt me, but I still love her. Because that's what Jesus does. He loves the broken. right? And she's just hurting. When you have trauma, when you have all kinds of things, the people out there in the world right now, I'll tell you what, they need an encounter with the love of Jesus over and over and over again. And they need encounters with people who are going to love them despite of what they do. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That hurt, though. Not going to say that was easy. That was not easy. But you know what's interesting? I've had all these, I could tell you story after story of people who are broken, who I've been in contact with and had beautiful times with. But I think for me, the biggest journey that I've had is my own family. So my husband and I, we've been married for 23 years, and we have two boys. We have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old. And when my 16-year-old was six, he was diagnosed with anxiety, depression, oppositional defiance disorder, and ADHD. And at age eight, my son, son of somebody who is married, son of somebody who actually has a mental health background, somebody who loves Jesus, my son becomes suicidal. Age eight. So young. How does that happen? And it honestly, like there's so much underneath that. There was layers of pain and crisis. Depression for my son did not show up as sadness. It showed up as rage and anger, threatening my life and threatening his life. Scary times. And what do? You know, you're in the grocery store lineup and you're like, how do you talk to anybody about that? The people out there who are dealing with some crazy things and people in here, by the way, who are dealing with some crazy things, how do you bring that up? By the way, my son threatened my life last night. It was broken. It was hard. And I remember bringing him to the hospital at age eight, and the psychologist asked me, what do you do when your son is throwing these fits of rage? I said to her, I send him to his room. That's how I was raised. I'm a child of the 80s. Where are my 80s people? Yes. What was your hair like during that time, right? You ever look back on your prom dress and go, wow, can we redo that one? So that's how I was raised. I mean, my dad was British, so I don't think I need to say anything else. That would not have flown in my house. And so I thought I was doing pretty good. But she said this to me. She says, you never send the hurting away from you. You bring them closer. I didn't know what she was talking about. I'm like, please medicate this kid, give him a counselor, and send him to military camp. Whatever it's going to take. Get this kid fixed. Get this kid in line. And I remember bringing him home 3 weeks later, and he had a medication. He had a counselor. And he comes home, and he has that first fit of rage again. And I remember what she says, bring him closer. Okay, so I thought maybe that meant go in for the hug. Have you ever tried to hug somebody who's like, right? Oh my goodness, yeah, not a good idea. Gentlemen, have you ever told, this is how I relate that. Gentlemen, have you ever told your wife when she's kind of losing her mind, like, honey, calm down. I can see who's tried that now. Doesn't work. And so it was the same thing. My son did not do well with that. And so I'm like, okay, so I removed all the sharp objects. I removed the barriers, and I just sat there with him. And it was really hard to just sit there in his brokenness and just be there. And then I said words like, son, we love you. You belong in our home. Nothing is going to break our connection with you. And then these words came out of my mouth. I'm not trying to change your behavior. And then I almost choked on my spit because that's all I wanted to do. All I wanted to do was change his behavior. And you know, for him, he had watched me for a long time, constantly trying to change his behavior. I would be reading books, you know, have a new kid by Friday. Somebody burn that book. Like, there's no kid by Friday, new kid by Friday. I would read books, and then I would try out all these strategies on him. But he's really smart. That's what I find about these kids that, you know, are a little divergent. It's so funny. He would be my favorite kid in school, and now I'm parenting him. Very different, very different. See this hair? That's not blonde. That's what patience will cause you, right? I remember just sitting there, and he didn't trust me. He didn't trust me because he's like, I'm so used to you trying out strategies on me that now I don't trust what you're doing now. And so I had to show up like that for a year. Every time that rage would come, I had to hold him like that for a year. And what's interesting is in that year, the Lord transformed my ideas of the gospel. I've always been very evangelistic in my nature, telling people about Jesus, but I realized I knew nothing about Jesus, the real heart of Jesus, until I went through this experience. And I want to break it down a little bit for you. And then I do want to bring you to my favorite verse. Don't worry, there's going to be Bible in here today. Isaiah 61 is my go-to when it comes to what is God's plan? What is the gospel? If you could ask yourself, if someone asked you right now, what is the gospel? Like, what is the message of Jesus? Could you answer them in a sentence? I think right now in church, we don't know. We've made it so complicated. Like, well, first of all, we're blank, and then we think of all kinds of things. And I think it's really this simple. You sang it today. God will do anything to reach you. That's the gospel. We think we seek God? Oh, no. He seeks us, and he finds us in our corner. He finds us hiding. Some of you, God has been pursuing you, and you know it. Don't run, because he'll just keep chasing after you. Because he doesn't relent. His love does not relent. And my question to some of you who maybe have been in the church for a long time and maybe who has struggled is God good? When you go through brokenness, you might wonder, you might wrestle with that question. Can I just say God's okay with the wrestle? He's okay when you're like, God, are you good? Because there's a lot of people who have been hurt by people. I mean, your coffee table doesn't cause trauma. People do, okay? You're having a great day, and then people happen. And so people often will break our hearts, and in those moments, we can relate the love or lack of that we've received from people, and we translate that up here to him. So is God really good? Was God good in the moment where I'm struggling with my own son? I'm asking myself, why me? Why? Like, what are you doing, Father? Right? And so when it came to sitting there, here's what I'd like to break down first. I remember the psychologist saying, you don't send the hurting away from you, you bring them closer. And as I sat there, and as the year went on, I saw my son soften. And I saw his heart open. And I saw anxiety and depression lessen. And God spoke to me and he said, that's what happens. I don't send hurting people away from me. I bring them closer. In fact, the more hurting you are, the closer I want you there. I don't want you to fix yourself up. There's no hoops that you have to jump through. Jump, jump, jump. Little hoop here, little hoop there. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. Then you come to church and you're like, yes, I checked all my boxes. He doesn't care if you've lived well this week or if you have failed every single day. He literally brings you close. Because of the cross, it is finished. It's covered. You are forgiven. I often will find in the past, I would always be asking, oh God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. One day he spoke to me, he said, stop asking for forgiveness because you're already forgiven. He goes, what I want you to do is I want you to repent and change your mind. Change your mind. That's what repent means. Repent sounds so harsh, doesn't it? Repent. All that means is God's going, please, let's just turn around. Turn your head around. Turn your thoughts around towards me and watch what I do. See, it's all in perspective of what we've grown up with. And when we lean our heads, when we actually dare get on the lap of Jesus, and that might sound weird to some of you, get on, and just lean your head on the Father's chest and allow him to heal you. He brings you closer, and that's where you're healed. Your emotional scars are healed. Your trauma is healed. But what do? We numb it. We run away. I loved your honesty this morning, Brandy. We get busy. Hello, guilty, right here. We look to guys, ladies, right? I'm not a guy, so I don't know what it's like being a guy, but ladies, we look to men to fill that. You tell me who I am. You tell me who I should be. Instead of finding out who we are in Jesus first and then coming to people with that. When we were going through this really broken time, I'm a credential holder with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada and ended up drinking myself to sleep every single night. Not because I thought being an alcoholic would be a fun idea. But every night, you know, my family would go to bed and I would just be like, I just need this pain of will God ever move in my family? Will my son always struggle? I didn't know if it was ever going to get better. So, you know, well, I won't tell you why we have whiskey in our house. Well, actually, no, I will, because now I've brought it up. We have whiskey in our house because that's what we do when we're sick. We're German. Jägermeister in Germany is an over-the-counter thing, okay? Just letting you know, okay? So we don't have whiskey for all bad reasons. But there was one night I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have a bunch of that. And it knocked me right out. It was fantastic. I'm like, this knocked me out. I forgot about my problems for a whole night. I woke up the next morning. I'm like, I'm going to do that again. And I did. I did over and over and over again. There's a reason why people drink. It's because it works for a moment. It works for a moment. There's a reason why our youth are struggling with marijuana. It's because it numbs the pain and it allows them to be social. It allows them to do things. It allows them to become for a moment who they really wish that they could be when they didn't have so much pain covering their hearts. You see, there's always something underneath behavior. And what the church has done and what I have done, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church in general, is we've looked at people who struggle with addiction. We've looked at people who struggle with their sexuality and we're like, ooh, that's bad. But maybe Jesus didn't die to make bad people good. Maybe he died and rose again to make what's dead inside of people come alive. You see, Jesus doesn't go for behavior. I'm not trying to change your behavior. Those words came out of my mouth, and I felt Holy Spirit say to me when I'm in this cycle of drinking, he's like, I'm not trying to change your drinking. I'm trying to get why you're there. Let's transform you there. That's the gospel. He died and rose again because he sees so much in you. He sees his very Father in you. He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to rise again. He was willing to go down to the pit of hell and take the keys and say, no longer will you need to suffer. I am about your liberation. Your liberation. Your liberation. I am liberating you. I am setting you free. And yet what do? We wrap religion all around it and we put up barriers for people and say, no, you've got to do this first and then you get liberated. No, Jesus breaks down the wall. He tears the veil in the tabernacle. He tears it down and he says, all are welcome. Bring in the misfits. Bring in the broken. Bring in the ones who think that I've forgotten them. Bring them in and let them come. Don't let anything hold them back. I'll tell you, my son, he still doesn't know what he thinks about Jesus because he's had such a broken journey. And I think about him and I think about all the kids out there that don't know that God is a freeing God. He doesn't know. And I'm his mom. Maybe he needs to come to a service and sit in the front, spit all over him. Just kidding. It's interesting how the love of the Father brings us closer. He's not trying to change your behavior. He's trying to transform your heart. That's what he wants to do. And can I just say that I really do believe there's a lot of words, prophetic words out there, that God is bringing revival to homes. And I believe that. And that means that parents, you need to be armed with this truth. Bring your children closer and don't try to change their behavior. Work on the transformation. Because as you, the father and the mother, and I'm not talking about like letting them do whatever they want, okay? This is a whole other seminar. But I am saying that as you show them the love of the Father, their hearts soften and they find purpose again and they rise up. And I'll tell you what, God is raising up a generation. God is raising up a generation. And the equipper of that generation is the parents. That's why you're not just a mom, Megan. You're equipping a generation. And not just the parents, but can I just say, like, Bruce, right? Bruce, when I gave you that word the other night that young men need you, there's people in this room that, as these young people come in, you just embrace them and you love them and you don't let them leave those doors without giving them, looking them in the eye and saying, I believe in you. Because they're not getting that from their teachers. I work with teachers. Teachers are burned out. You can't expect people who are burned out to be able to pour that into teachers, even though that's what I want them to do. That's what they want to do, but they are tired. I'm telling you, don't let any young person leave this room without looking at them and saying, I'm praying for you, and then go home and pray for them. Because I'm here because I couldn't leave my church without somebody grabbing me and saying, I believe in you. I'm praying for you. They took me out for coffee. I'm telling you, these people changed my life. And that's what's missing in our church, mentorship. Investing in our youth. And we don't know what that looks like because, you know, like last night we're at the table and I'm trying to talk to your kids and they're probably looking at me like, what a weird woman. And I'm seeing so much on your son and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be weird. I'm not going to be weird. I'm not going to be weird. Oh my goodness, you're so amazing. And I'm just like trying so hard. Okay, shh. Tone it down, tone it down. There's so much on Caleb's life, so much on Caleb's life. I just can't even believe how much is on Caleb's life. Oh my goodness, that kid is going to change the world. Okay. And I'm trying really hard not to be weird. Can we just be weird? Who cares what they think, right? Let's just pour out the love on these kids because that's what they need. And then we can rethink it later. Maybe don't, because then there's like, when it comes to the gospel, I want to read you where this all came from for me when I first got called to ministry. Isaiah 61. Turn in your iPhones too. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Now it's talking about Jesus, but the Spirit of Jesus rests on every person in the room. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. He's renaming you, and he's renaming people around you. He's calling them oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. Who's they? Yeah, that's right. You look right at yourself right there. When you talked this morning, Jay, about releasing voices, you need to start declaring over yourself who you are. No more being Canadian. Wow. I love what Bill Johnson says. When people say, you know, it's like, oh, great, great worship, great worship. Oh, you know, it's all Jesus. Bill wants to respond and say, you're not that good. What he means is let's start owning where God has gifted us. He has planted you, or you are an oak of righteousness. Please own that. We don't walk prideful about it, but we know who we are. And we stand firm in it. There's something about when God renames you, you need to own the name. And God spoke to me when I was going through all of these things. Oh, by the way, I don't drink anymore. Maybe I should mention that. My husband's like, you never finish your thought. That would be an important one. Okay. And actually, I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why right now, or I'm going to forget. Here's what's so powerful about your vision of community. So 6 months in, I decide I need to tell somebody. So I call up my pastor's wife, and I ask her, I just want you to know I've been doing this. And she says, Connie, you're a leader. You speak to youth. She goes, this is not okay. You need to repent. And if you haven't fixed what you're doing, your behavior by next week, I'm going to call you. If you haven't fixed it, I'm calling the district. Guess who had 2 drinks that night? That didn't help. And so on I went, spiraling downwards more and more into destructive behaviors that I didn't want to be in. So then 6 months later, so this was a year, great for my liver, I called up another friend, and I said, hey, I don't want this in my life. People who are broken don't want to be broken. So I called her up and she said, Connie, you've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten that you're a warrior. Brandy, don't forget that you're a warrior by getting yourself too busy because you have so much on your life and I'm going to contend with you for the rest. In fact, I want to prophetically just say, I have got you. I will not let you go ever. You are my friend for life. And we're going to take on the world and I'm going to make sure you make it no matter what. We all need covenant friends. We need covenant people who will stand with us through everything. That's me for you. So my friend said to me, I'm going to get down in there in the muck with you. I'm going to grab you by the hand, and I'm going to walk with you until you remember who you are. And that's why I haven't drank since. That's the power of community. Reminding people who they are. Not what they're doing wrong. They know. It's right in their face. And shame is right there. To tell them, yeah, you suck big time. Instead, what is inside of you? As a prophetic people, you don't have to have a gift of prophecy to be encouraging. You see the gold in people and you pull it out. That's a prophetic lifestyle. A prophetic lifestyle is seeing what God sees in people and pulling it out. Instead of shame, God is going to give you a double portion. Instead of disgrace, he is going to give you an inheritance. And here's what I teach teachers. Here's what I teach mental health professionals. Mental health is caught, not taught. You don't teach kids how to manage their anxiety. You have to be a peaceful person and you show them through your life. It's called co-regulation. So it's the same thing in the kingdom. You don't teach people about what spirituality looks like. You literally model it and you take them by the hand and you walk with them. And so for some of you this morning, when I said that the Lord brings the hurting closer, I want to invite you to take a moment to really ponder that for yourself. What does it look like for God to bring you closer? And what kind of freedom could be there for you? Because I'll tell you what, when there's freedom, when the church is truly free, I'll tell you what, there's no creative movement that he can't do through you. So for some of you, I really feel that shame has tried to lie to tell you that you need to do this, 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 and then Jesus will accept you. And this morning, what I thought we could do is I have these post-it notes and some pens. And what I would love is for you to be thinking about, well, a couple things, because there's a couple people in the room. One person, and I don't just mean one person, but one type of person in the room is the person who is, I don't know what that even looks like to come close to God in my brokenness. And that's just not people who don't know Jesus. That's people who have known Jesus for a long time because you've learned how to show up. You've learned how to perform. You've learned. And I think this is something we're always going to have to come back to. It's not something we arrive in. I come to this all the time. I don't have to perform for Jesus. He just brings me in. But what's underneath Like, what do I need to lay down? Brandy, that I want to come back to your word. What do we need to lay down this morning in order to allow ourselves to be fully seen and loved by the Father? I want you to be thinking about that right now. And I'm a woman of action, so I'm going to ask you to act. There's something about acting that puts your line in the sand, puts your stake in the ground and saying, okay, I am making a decision this morning. I'm making a decision to lay this down. I don't want to tell you what this is. Your this is different than the person next to you, but what do you need to lay down in order to be fully loved by the Father, in order to be fully seen by the Father? Is it religious hoops? Is it feeling like, oh, am I getting this right? Is it frustration? Is it whatever? I don't know what it is. And what I want us to do is I'm going to keep these right here, and then I'm going to invite you to come and stick it right by the cross. And as a statement of saying that I choose freedom this morning, I choose to leave this here so that I can pick up freedom. Because you know what's so interesting is that even though my son still struggles, we found out it's autism. It's not even that he has anxiety or depression. It's because all these years he's had autism. And so when he shows up to school, when he shows up somewhere like church, anywhere, he's like, I just don't feel like I fit here. And so he'll feel anxious. And then he goes home and he feels depressed because he doesn't know if he can function the way everybody else does. Interesting, hey? But you know what's been so neat is that we've walked our son from being suicidal to being able to know that he's fully accepted and loved. And that's what happens when we can open our hearts. Because my husband and I, we had to find freedom from perfection. We had to find freedom from needing control. We had to find freedom from religious routines that we didn't even realize that we were in until we were faced with this. And so I had to lay down my need for control. I had to lay down the fact that I don't understand. I had to lay down my own imperfections and my feelings of failure as a mom. What kind of mother are you who loves Jesus and your kid is suffering? I had to lay that down. I had to lay down shame. So those are some things that I had to lay down. And so I'm going to invite you without any magical music, nothing. If you know what you need to lay down, I want you to invite to come up right now and just write it down and bring it over there.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.